News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Good morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, Mobile Mornings, 8:07. Good to have friends out there because you can rely on your friends when your friends become part of the news,
mm-hmm.
and get their opinion on things. For instance, President Donald Trump and his administration's plan to temporarily suspend tariffs on at least 300,000 metric tons of imported ground beef and sell it below market value. Mm-hmm. So you're thinking, how does this affect ranchers, including local ranchers?
Yeah, and I know everyone knows what a metric ton is, right? Well, maybe not. 300,000 metric tons, I think that's about 661 million pounds of imported beef and beef trimmings in this case. And on to discuss this with us and what it means for American ranchers, Jeremy Clark and his wife Heather with C4 Cattle Company in Grand Bay. Also, we've talked with Jeremy about his organization, Vets to Cowboys. Good morning, Jeremy and Heather. Thank you so much for coming on with us this morning.
Good morning, guys.
Thank y'all for having us.
Sure.
Of course. So let's talk about this and the proclamation from the president for somebody that just goes and buys beef on the weekend, or maybe someone's getting ready to stand at a meat counter right now. Jeremy, can you explain what exactly is the president importing, and why are American cattle producers concerned right now?
Well, we're importing stuff because our herd is at an all-time low. We need to really focus on the big problem to increase that. And the new meat coming in for the grocery store, we're still wondering where it's coming from, what their inspection processes are, and are you really going to see a result at the grocery store with a lower price?
Mm-hmm. That's what we're waiting to see. That's what it seems the Trump administration wants to see, the lower prices anyway, as we head into these elections in November.
He made the claim that this is going to give, you've talked about the herds being at an all-time low, Jeremy, correct?
Yeah.
And he says the move gives space for the American herd to grow.
The biggest problem there is that the shortage wasn't created overnight, and mm-hmm. so you can't reestablish a herd size in 90 days when a cow takes 9 months to give birth, and then it's at least at 12 to 18 months to grow out that calf to go to the butcher. So you're looking at a minimum of 18 to 24 months just from the time one hits the ground, from breeding to one being sent. That's on a 90-day plan. Mm-hmm. We need a two-year plan to be able to reestablish those numbers.
And, like you said, it seems like a short-term fix here, short-term pricing fix for what's a serious long-term problem at a 75-year low with the American herd. The administration said these imports, they're going to be priced 25% below the current market. I have trouble believing that will result in a full 25% decrease in prices at the counter, but it does mm-hmm. affect the, like we're here to talk about, American cattle producers. If you have cheaper imports coming in, I mean, what's that going to do to American beef sales and prices?
Everybody's supporting the president to help lower costs. We all obviously want to see lower costs on everything. Not just beef, diesel, which diesel is going to play into, we got to move all this beef around.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at the way we solve problems in the military, we use a subject matter expert to take care of something. So the beauty of this situation with beef and cattle, we have a long list of subject matter experts that have seen these trends happen before. They've run into these problems before. So we need to rely on people like the Alabama Cattlemen Association, the Farm Bureau, the NCBA, the United States Cattlemen Association, all these subject matter experts that are dealing with our beef and our herd every day. I think we should sit down at the table and have a conversation and figure out a plan that not only protects consumers, but it also protects producers. Then we look at strengthening the U.S. cattle production and preserving the long-term future of American cattle.
Mm-hmm. On the short term, Jeremy, right now, I know we're in the middle of a kind of a seasonal window where most of the springborn calves are sold. So is this particularly bad timing considering that for you and other ranchers?
Yeah, the import of the beef, you listen to the experts, it's touched the market a little bit. It is almost time to sell those calves. So the numbers will get affected, which, you know, the cattle market's been all over the place right now. We've been at an all-time high, but demand is high, you know, cost is high, and supply is low. We got to fix the main issue.
Mm-hmm. We're talking with Jeremy Clark and Heather Clark with C4 Cattle Company out of Grand Bay about this proclamation from the president this week to import 300,000 metric tons of lean beef trimmings from Argentina. Now, talk a little bit, Jeremy or Heather, either one of you. You both obviously built the business and know this industry so well. What kind of process do you have to go through from the time that you begin to cull cattle to where it ends up in stores or you selling them? Just the process of making sure that it's good to sell, and is that different than beef that's imported, or are they looking at the health of the cattle and making sure that everything's as healthy as possible before it gets to the consumer in both instances?
Well, the thing that everybody's talking about right now that is the whole reason the borders got closed from bringing in live cattle is the New World screw worm. This is a type of larvae that infests and eats, you know, living tissue, not just decomposing tissue. So we closed the border down to try to save, you know, U.S. cattle and from getting that spread and trying to push, you know, that screw worm back down. And so we know what the process is in the U.S. for that. If an animal has that, they have to be culled, but that meat is no longer viable and, you know, has to be destroyed. We don't know what other countries' processes are for that.
Mm-hmm.
We also know, you know, all of our labels for any medication, if for some reason an animal has to have something, there's a time period that that animal has to basically sit in a lot and make sure that that medication has come out of their system before it goes to a feedlot. And then you have to have a USDA inspection process done at the butcher to have a label on it to be able to sell that to the consumer.
Mm-hmm.
The USDA is obviously a U.S. entity that is doing our inspections. We have certain regulations that are required for that that are not going to be equivalent to those in other countries. So we don't know that process in other countries, especially if the meat's coming from multiple sources. So it's hard to compare apples to apples with this meat coming in.
Mm.
If you could, a couple of other issues I want to get to with you guys, because you do amazing work. I was down at your event not long ago, more of the Vets to Cowboys event down on your property, and that was very enlightening. But if you had a chance to speak directly to, I don't know, Secretary of Agriculture Brooke Rollins or the president himself, what's the single most important reality about ranching you think that they may be failing to understand in your position right now?
The only constant in life is change. We obviously need to figure out long-term plans, and we need to look at our programs, our processes, our procedures to see how to help secure, you know, our food and our food safety as we go forward. How we did things 75 years ago is different than what needs to be done today. So we need to work on food safety, and food security is a national security issue. We have to have food. We have to know where it comes from. We need to be in control of that supply.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to also be careful not to solve a grocery store problem by creating a farm or ranch problem,
right,
that then turns into a long-term grocery store problem that makes us reliant,
yeah,
on other countries for our food.
Some good information here from Jeremy and Heather Clark
with
C4 Cattle Company. I wanted to ask you, too, just as the industry as a whole and really looking into this week with all of this news. So we basically have four companies in America that control 85% of American beef processing. And I know, Jeremy, just talking with you over the years and the Vets to Cowboys, I mean, you are so much for the local rancher, the local farmer, the little guy, as it were, compared to some of these massive corporations. Talk about that. Four companies owning 85% of the processing here. And, you know, maybe that has something to do with the 75-year low. I know that we've had droughts and fires and things of that nature that have really hurt our American herd. But does that hurt us as a whole to not have more, you know, individual and local ranchers and farmers, and so much of this is corporatized?
It is an issue, and states like Alabama are working on that. The last couple of years, Alabama was granted some federal money, and it was issued out in business loans to create more avenues for cattle processing and packaging. So we've seen in the last 2 to 3 years several new smaller, locally owned operations that are, you know, they're USDA and custom inspected facilities, and they're processing and packaging beef, lamb, and pork, you know, right here down the street from it.
Mm-hmm. Jeremy, your the event you had that I think was basically introducing a lot of members of the veterans community to the idea of farming and ranching, that was maybe a month and a half back or so. And that was really awesome. So those individuals that were there, and some were families as well, they're mostly not in the in the business yet. They're not really landowners or ranchers yet, but they were there just to learn about the idea of possibly going in that direction. Is that what was going on?
Yeah, so there were people here there were some that were in the industry, but it was obviously an open house for new people.
Yeah.
So our target audience was veterans and their families and other people in the community that were interested in becoming new and beginning farmers, whether it was beef, lamb, or pork, or chicken, or, you know, they want to start a vegetable garden, whatever it was. Mm-hmm. We were, you know, the country as a whole, and the Alabama numbers show on the last survey that, you know, we lost 8% of our farms. That was almost 4,000 farms. 95% of the farms in the state are family-owned operations. You know, we're having an issue with losing where our food comes from. Somebody's got to step up and replace it. And we're seeing a lot more new and beginning small to average-sized producers getting in the market. And, you know, if the supply is low, we got to do something to get it up, mm-hmm. to get the cost down.
And when we joined Cattlemen about a year and a half, 2 years ago, that's what we realized, is there's such this huge shortage in the American rancher and farmer and agriculture, and this generation is retiring or, you know, getting out of the business, and they don't have somebody to take it over, and then that land is becoming subdivisions and potentially solar farms and data centers, which, I mean, we can't blame the farmer for selling that, you know, that land off if nobody's there to take care of it, and they can't any longer. Mm-hmm. But we're trying to get, you know, veterans that are, you know, 30s, 40s, our age, that are retiring out of the service, that need new careers and still have a lot of years left to give into something and to give back. And we're trying to make that connection with bringing the veterans and the military side over to agriculture. It's a seamless transition.
Yeah, and it seems to me that, I mean, you're seeing victories as far as that. You're now getting people to do just that, be part of the ag world, be it a rancher or otherwise. I was so impressed. How many people have you converted from military to farming to this point?
I think we're getting close to 10.
Wow.
10 new farms in probably less than 12 months.
And that's not including all the people who are getting started that have not fully retired or were just here for interest things, yep. and trying to start out. That's almost 10 that are actually already producing and selling.
I know you want to take this to scale, too, and do it nationally. That's amazing.
We're trying.
That's the goal. Yeah,
well, you guys work your tails off. I honestly don't know how you find the time, but you do. Let's talk about this, too. Speaking of staying busy, an event coming up in October. Tell me about the Ruck and Ride Mobile.
So we've partnered with Operation Iron Ruck and Bonfire Ranch. You may have heard of Operation Iron Ruck before. They're the ones who ruck from Auburn University to University of Alabama.
Okay, yeah.
The two of them have partnered together before, and they've hosted Ruck and Rides a couple of times in central and northern part of the state. Hasn't happened on the Gulf Coast yet, so we found a way to work together, you know, to combine veterans and cowboys and bring it down here to the Gulf Coast. And what better place to do it than C4 Cattle Company?
Yeah, seriously. And some beautiful land, obviously. And so this will be when things are a little cooler, we hope, October 10th, a little cooler than we are now here at the end of August, but a trail ride and some rucking, and you'll even have chow there, some lunch in the middle of the day. So we'll get this posted and try to get people, let them know that this is coming up in October and get them signed up if they want to participate in what seems like will be an awesome day. Jeremy and Heather, C4 Cattle Company, Jeremy and Heather Clark, thank you so much for coming on with us this morning and putting into perspective what this recent move means for the local ranch with importing beef. Really appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Guys,
you got to reach out anytime. You got something going on, we're happy to help. A couple of really nice people doing a whole lot of good for veterans, for sure.
Yeah,
I wasn't even aware of that event coming up. That's pretty cool.
Ruck and ride.
Sounds like for you and the girls.
Got to get you a horse, Dan. Or maybe you should ruck and we'll ride the horses. I don't know.
By the way, we've got a grand prize we want to unveil to you.
Yeah, the FM Talk 106.5 College Pick'em Challenge. We have over a week to get signed up. We'll let you know what that big grand prize is from Spring Hill Ace Hardware on the way on Mobile Mornings.
Season is here, and we invite you to play along with us with our pick'em contest. But it's not just for the heck of it. No. Hundreds of you sign up every year for the fun of it, but also the fact that you can win a great grand prize again this year.
Yeah, so for you, the listener, the player, the competitor, it's free to enter.
What's up, player?
What's up, player? it's free to enter. Make sure you're aware of that. And some great details on our website for how to get entered, whether you've played before or this is your first time playing. If you go to fmtalk1065.com/pick'em, folks have been signing up by the dozens. Let's see where we are now. We're over 200 entries, less than a week into having this open, and 1 week remains to make sure that you enter if you want to get in, because you know, to keep this a fair contest all season long, once our games, and we're not starting this contest officially until next Saturday. I realize there's some college games this weekend.
Yep.
Not enough to make a full 10-game card for us, or at least anything worth the appetizing enough to make a 10-game card. So we're going to get started next week when most teams are on the field. And Spring Hill Ace Hardware, tip with Spring Hill Ace, coming through with another absolutely amazing grand prize package. And if you're unaware how we do things here at FM Talk 106.5, this is all going to the winner at the end of the year. Whoever picks the most wins throughout the season, whoever has the most wins in these college pick'ems, will be our grand prize winner. We've seen it gone down to the wire. And people really want these great grand prizes from Spring Hill Ace. So this year, officially unveiling the grand prize, we have a Traeger outdoor griddle. This thing looks amazing. Traeger flat rock propane, liquid propane outdoor griddle. Griddles are all the rage right now. And what better than a Traeger sitting out there with you by your house? And to go along with that, you're going to need some music, right? If you're out grilling or tailgating and having a good time, a TurtleBox original Bluetooth weather-resistant speaker. This is larger than the Bluetooth Ranger. This is that next step up for TurtleBox, and a $430 value on that TurtleBox speaker alone. You're also going to need something to keep the drinks cool wherever you are, and a very patriotic red, white, and blue Igloo Trailmate 75-quart roller cooler, also part of this grand prize package, but not to be outdone, a Yeti Loadout 5-gallon bucket, also part of the winner's prize package here. And then to go with your new Traeger propane griddle, all of the accessories you could possibly need to get out there and cook something that the family and friends want to eat. So you'll get some great Traeger accessories and grill accessory bundles and kits, and also some seasoning and conditioner to keep that griddle looking nice. What a grand prize package. Tip really outdid himself this year at Spring Hill Ace Hardware.
He always does.
You can go by and buy these individual things if you make it to Spring Hill Ace anytime soon. But what a grand prize package. Get signed up now. FMTalk1065.com/pick'em. We'll come back and get to your text plus news on Mobile Mornings.
Mobile Bay starts its day with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig on Mobile Mornings.
Yet another crash. Where's it at, Gio?
Thank you, Cheese Wagon, on the text line. Accident 65 southbound near Government. I thought I heard Kane there saying northbound, too. So the interstates have been not fun this morning. And I say that as someone who has not been riding the interstates this morning. So good luck to you if you're trying to get out and around this traffic. And be aware, maybe more rain on the way later today. And hopefully it doesn't interfere too much with kickoff for some of these high school games tonight. But we all know what to expect this time of year. As football gets started, the weather can sometimes it just doesn't play nice. So,
yeah, you're right.
Make sure you tune in tonight as UMS Wright is hosting Mountain Brook. First home game of the year for UMS and Mountain Brook coming to town. So pregame at 6:30 with coaches Michael Knapp and Kevin Rayleigh, who will be on the call at 7 o'clock when kickoff comes around. And you can hear the entire game and the entire season, UMS season, right here on FM Talk 106.5.
UTV 44 in Theodore tonight. Bobcats of Theodore, they're 1-0. They beat Davidson to start the year, and they're taking on Baker, who lost 33-0 to Williamson. I watched a good bit of that game on YouTube yesterday, and I guess the game kind of got away from them later, but it was they had some special team gaffes and things like that kind of gave Williamson. Now, Williamson's a very good team, but basically their defense is really, really, really tough to score on. Mm-hmm. Really tough to move the ball against, period. They've got a lot of players on defense that are really good and going to be playing in college here in a year or so. So it's they're one of the best teams in the state.
Yeah.
So I think it's a pretty even matchup tonight. Bobcats against the Baker Hornets, and that's at 7 o'clock on UTV 44.
All right, looking forward to that. And a lot of discussion this morning on the text line regarding Lake on t-
right.
Lake America. Lake America, that's what we're calling
the
it
Gulf
now.
The Gulf of
the Gulf of but the president yesterday signing an order directing the federal government to rename Lake Ontario Lake America, as this trade dispute with Canada continues to grow. Now, the change takes effect immediately in official U.S. government documents and geographic databases. I haven't checked Google or Apple Maps yet this morning to see if they've gotten in line. It's not expected to be recognized internationally. Canadian Prime Minister Mark Carney responded that the centuries-old body of water will remain, in his eyes, Lake Ontario. And New York Governor Kathy Hochul, who I don't know if she actually does any governing these days or if she's just waiting on every single Trump press release so she can come out in direct opposition, but you wouldn't expect anything less this time either. She said New York's not going to use Trump's designation either. And that follows the administration's decision to put up 50% tariffs on $20 billion in Canadian goods. Ottawa is matching dollar for dollar, they say. Dan earlier played a clip of Trump making this announcement yesterday, and once again, he brought out both a map of the lake, and I don't think he was using a Sharpie this time. I thought I saw a pen in his hands. It may have been a Sharpie. I might be wrong, but he was ready to scratch out Lake Ontario and write the new name. I just wanted to play this in its entirety because, well, it's Trump.
It's a big
talking
deal.
About renaming the lake.
So this is Lake Ontario in Canada and in the United States. But we're going to make a little change. We're going to call it something different than Lake Ontario. We're going to call it Lake America. And all it takes is a good pen and some intelligence.
Here he goes.
So Lake Ontario, that's gone.
Yeah, he's scratching it
lake.
Out. Writing Lake
America.
America. Still writing. Hold on. The best is coming.
So now we have a lake, and now we have a Gulf, because we have the Gulf of America, and now we have Lake America, without the of. Thank you very much, everybody. Enjoy Lake America.
Without the of.
So will it be the Atlantic or the Pacific that gets the designation? Because you said there's still oceans out there.
Mm-hmm. Well, why not both, is what I have to say.
So when he renamed the Gulf of Mexico the Gulf of America, I wasn't crazy about
you
that.
You weren't, and I was, and still love it.
Yeah, I think a lot of people love it. I don't. Mm-hmm. I didn't love it then. I don't love it now. And now this again just looks like, well, what are we doing here?
Well, and so much of it has to do with the vibes. And there were different vibes for many of us when he renamed the Gulf into the Gulf of America. We were riding that high, right? The Trump elected, everything is soon to be fixed, or at least we're going to start trying to fix some things up.
Yeah, that's when it happened. You're right, but even with the vibe and with the election and with the momentum that we were feeling from his application of all kinds of ideas, including Doge, I just wasn't crazy about him just nilly-willy renaming the Gulf of Mexico to Gulf of America. A lot of people liked it from the get-go. Mm-hmm. Well, if you were one that liked it, do you like this?
Yeah.
Do you like this as much?
And I think that, you know, right now, with the midterms coming up and things not looking good for those who vote Republican, with prices the way they are, mostly due to energy prices. And then we just got off the phone with, you know, Jeremy and Heather Clark, yeah, the C4 Cattle Company, and many American ranchers who aren't happy about importing, you know, foreign beef to lower prices because it's going to do some damage to their costs. I just think that there are plenty of reasons that some of the same Trump voters who were fired up about the Gulf of America right now feel differently and feel that there's this is maybe unnecessary at this moment. But the part of me that truly enjoys when Trump trolls people that aren't that aren't American, like we've seen so many times before, and the way that Carney has gone about this in Canada. I mean, he was elected to fight with Trump. That's why the Canadians liked this guy, this banker, I believe. And, you know, with the Rob Ford? I forget which Ford brother is Ford. Still with us, the one that's the mayor there.
Yeah, yeah.
I get their names confused. And he is just
Doug,
ready.
Doug
I'm sorry. Yeah, Rob is his late brother.
Ontario premier.
So he's like a dog that needs a muzzle on, because as soon as you take that muzzle off, he is ready to shout at Trump. He's kind of like Rosie O'Donnell up there, except he actually, you know, holds some power. But I think Trump actually appreciates when he challenges him, because he and Doug there get to go back and forth. And
they did earlier this week.
But for American voters, for MAGA voters, I don't think this is hitting the same as the Gulf of America. And let's go to the text line, because we've gotten plenty of those this morning. John says, who does he think he is with all of his name changing? He probably thinks he's the president. That's my addition to this text. He says, the Marxists were big on changing names. They changed the name St. Petersburg, Russia, to Leningrad. Another text here, if I can skip through and find our next bridge text here. I know C.B. Carl was asking. He said, good morning, guys. Now that it's Lake America, are they going to change the lyrics of the Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald? I think by law they'll have to, C.B. Carl, if we officially change the name
to
Lake America.
I don't know that was the lake that that wreck was on in the song. I don't know if it was Ontario. I could be wrong. It could have been. Let's see. There's what are the five Great Lakes? Michigan, Superior, Ontario, Erie.
Mm-hmm. And Huron?
No. Huron, yeah.
Huron. All right. Yeah, Huron.
Welcome to fourth grade. Sorry.
Welcome back to fourth grade. Some more texts here on the text line you have. And it's being a little slow on us this morning. All right, Daniel, he says, Trump's just jacking the economy up. This might be with the beef pricing. Trump's just jacking the economy up. Sure, he isn't feeling it. He's a multimillionaire. Hell, I ain't even a multi-thousandaire yet. Jason says, are y'all ready for that Lake of America gear? I could care less about Canada, and I'm for sticking it to them any way we can. All those siding with Canada are disgraceful. And, you know, I'm always
siding with Canada. I'm not siding with Canada. I just don't think that changing the lake is a great idea.
An important thing to put effort into right now.
And the other thing is, too, with this cattle thing, I mean, Trump got so much of his support for the America First agenda and the from red states.
Mm-hmm.
And you would have to think a lot of cattlemen are those people that supported Trump. So
he's between a rock and a hard place. And you could obviously argue that he put himself there, that he put the Trump administration and the Republican Party there with this war that he can't bring to an end, the Iran war. Because, you know, you can only do so much, and I would have to turn to the cattle experts on what could and could not have been salvaged as far as the American herd being at a 75-year low.
Yeah.
That's certainly going to affect prices anyway. But then when you add the energy prices on top, and you know how much it takes to cost to how much the cost is to get this beef just to the supermarkets where they're going to be sold. But he, at the same time, has to do something to get prices down, because going into midterms, and we talk about it every single 2 and 4 years, regardless of who the president is, we could talk as much about policy as we want. We could talk as much about what's going on in the world as we want. But what it so often comes down to, people will vote based on how their how heavy their wallets are at that time.
Yeah.
And how the economy is doing, not according to Wall Street necessarily, but according to their own budgets and what money they're seeing come in and what money they're seeing go out. So Trump knows he has to lower prices. He has to get energy prices down. He has to get grocery prices down. And this is his way of trying to fix that. It just so happens to go exactly against what he ran for right. as president.
Exactly. And also, so a lot of people, you know, reading and researching this, since the Iran war has started, there were forecasts of, okay, things are going to get straightened out by July, wait and see. Well, that did not happen. Of course, when we say straightened out, where the war simmers down and the gas prices...
Shipping continues, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. The Strait of Hormuz, everything's fine. Well, that hasn't happened yet. And I think as this thing moves on, you could probably... there's a lot of discontent in Iran not being reported because it's blacked out media-wise. But I don't know. There's a lot going on in that nation right now. And I would think at some point, Iran themselves, I could see them really trying to make some headlines by striking out aggressively before the midterms, just to kind of
let us know they're still there.
Accentuate, yeah, like a point of emphasis right before the elections. And I think it won't be before the elections, but after the elections have happened, I could see Trump really, at that point, just hammering the heck out mm-hmm. of him. I think he wants to hold off and not do that before the elections. But after the elections, if Iran themselves misbehave greatly, and a lot of experts think that they probably will between now and closer to the elections in October, say, that's when the hammer's really going to fall, I would guess.
Lloyd texting in says, renaming the bodies of water is petty. Why not just explain how Americans are getting hurt by Canadian trade policy?
There you go.
Another texter here says, this is Too Cooler Kenny, says, should name it Lewis or maybe Clark. How about Sacagawea or her brother Come My Way? And he said, stay dry, Too Cooler Kenny. I like that sign off now.
Stay dry.
Too Cooler Kenny.
Yeah.
Another texter.
Lake Sasquatch.
Lake Sasquatch.
Is he up that way?
Farmers and ranchers who, this is from another texter, farmers and ranchers who voted for him are upset about beef imports from Argentina. Renaming a lake seems like a distraction from more important issues Americans.
That may be true too. Also, somebody pointing out how this is how shrimpers have felt for a while with the imports mm-hmm. right here along the Gulf Coast. They've been hurt by those imports for years now.
Yeah, and you've seen some Alabama legislators, including Chip Brown, who have made a really hard push to try to make things better for our local and domestic
yep.
shrimpers and other farmers around. So, yeah, it's a real issue. And now the beef industry going through the same thing. Texter here says, I don't think it was a good move to change the name of Lake Ontario based on its history alone. I'm curious to see if the next administration rescinds all of those name-changed executive orders. I have a feeling that they're just
Democrats, they will.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have a feeling they're waiting to get that done for sure. And let's see, David says, guys, the acronym for the Great Lakes was HOMES. Now it's shame. So you're changing the, based off of just the change from Ontario to America, you get a change in the acronym there. Good stuff there. Gary says, hot tip, invest in USA maps. Go Trump. They're having to change them fairly often.
Yeah, they are. That's a good point.
And also, I'm getting a flag on the play because when Alec was talking to us about an hour ago, you said, I think he switched it up and started talking chicken there during a salmon recipe. I clearly was not as detail-oriented in that as you were, because I didn't hear it, but you were exactly right. So my apologies, Dan, for saying, no, I think he was talking about salmon the entire way, but several pointing that out.
We expected him to talk about salmon because that was the email that we received from him, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we just assumed that's what he was going to be talking about, and I was not listening too intently, and I thought I heard the word chicken. I'm like, well, wait a minute there.
Yeah.
And also, by the way, thanks for the the text on the watermelons at your
the pig, yeah, $6.99 a watermelon.
$6.99 per watermelon.
Yeah.
So I don't know, probably just a paste and copy and paste error on my part on the script there.
A lot more Lake America, Lake Ontario text to get to, and we will right after this break. I do want to say, as we all try to rename the lake ourselves, as we're clearly doing on the text line this morning, can we get the rest of these Alabamians that are, let's say north of just our line, our Baldwin-Mobile County lines, stay out of what we name the bridge, all right? I don't want to hear any more of this. I know Dale Jackson was saying we should name it for Nick Saban. Okay, I will think about that. If someone from Mobile or Baldwin County says we should name it after Nick Saban, then you have this state representative out of Coleman who's saying we should name it after Dolly Parton. All right, and I've heard some locals say that as well. But
no.
I want these
knee-jerk.
People
knee-jerk reaction.
I want these people who have never crossed the bay,
yep.
Or the same ones who thought we needed this bridge just so we could get to the beach.
Mm-hmm.
How about you stay out of what we named the bridge? All right, I don't want to hear any of that crap.
Look, guy from Coleman, your shark attack alert is going off right now on your yeah. on your watch. 8:51, Dan and Dalton FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile mornings on a Friday.
News, weather, traffic, and sports. You're listening to Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig.
It's Chris in Orange Beach. He's got love for the Jimmy Buffett Bridge in Bayway. I've seen a lot of those in the last few days.
Mm-hmm.
Started last week. Is that when we started that discussion?
Yeah, that's right. And Buffett has been the overwhelming, I think, response from folks in Mobile and Baldwin counties. I'm just tired of hearing state representatives from Coleman say what they think it should be named. Even if, you know, I love Dolly Parton. Her passing is obviously tragic, but let's cool the jets a little bit here. You know, we already have the Dolly Parton. And they, you know, there's been talk of maybe renaming the Delta Bridge, which has been called the Dolly Parton Bridge. But officially renaming that, too.
I'm against that.
It just...
Just leave the bridge to bridge. We call it the Dolly Parton Bridge with a smirk on our face. That's mm-hmm. good enough.
And there was a fantastic Lanyap deep dive. I think it was Scott Johnson who did it. It might have been Kyle Hamrick.
The history actually. Of it?
Yeah, it was Kyle Hamrick on the history of the W.K. Wilson and why it was named that.
Right.
Read that before you officially decide to scrub his name from the bridge.
There you go.
Coming up on the Jeff Poor Show, Todd Stacey with Alabama Daily News in hour number one. Former State Senator Dick Brubaker joins in hour two, and current State Senator Chris Elliott joins Jeff in hour three. Butterknife texting in says, I'm glad that Congressman Figures is standing up for the cattle industry in Alabama.
You see that?
Wish the Republicans could actually stand up for freedom and not socialism. Where do you buy your liquor in Alabama? Complete social, the text from Butterknife. And, you know, some Republicans have said how they feel about the cattle imports as well, including, I believe, Senator Katie Britt. But you're right, Figures putting that legislation out. Many noting, let's see, Joel says Lake of America, so he is pro-Lake America.
Okay.
For
what's
the
up, Joel?
Edmund Fitzgerald we were discussing earlier, and C.B. Carl says the wreck happened on Lake Superior, but they mention the now former Lake Ontario.
Okay.
And many of you pointing out Lake Superior in the song.
Yeah.
Dirt Digger says, we in the USA better realize that food that is grown in our country is better than foreign food. Shrimp, beef, catfish, pigs, and chickens made in the USA is the best in the world. Also said we need to build at Mexico and Canada, build the Great Wall of America. Keep us safe.
How about you got to give us credit for just rifting there and coming up with all five Great Lakes? Because I was stuck at the end. And you shot in Huron, and I was like, wow, that's the one I would have never. So way to go. No. I got four, you got one.
That was a guess. I'm not a Great Lakes expert by any stretch of the imagination.
No, but you were on your toes enough to answer it.
Ken says, why did he choose the smallest of the five lakes for America?
Let's not point that out to Trump. Now we don't. Let's keep him hinged.
And anything Trump does is still better than what it would be with Democrats, but I'm really starting to wonder if Trump knows what the hell he is doing. Billy says, I think we have bigger fish to fry in this country to be worrying about the name of a lake and or gulf. And Greg, anybody about the bridge that doesn't use it every day should not have a say in its
there
name.
You go. You and Greg right there. Lockstep. Keep out of it. 8:59 and Jeff Poor Show, of course, is next. And Dalton and I will talk to you on Monday morning starting at 6.